Good. That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to finish up the series that we've been doing on disciple. That's what we've called it. I've challenged you, I hope. My goal has been to cause you to rethink, to perceive somewhat differently, to maybe redefine the difference between a Christian and a disciple in our day's society. You see, my fear is this, is that we teeter-tot and we're getting so similar to the way it was in the days of Jesus with the Jews. You see, they thought everything was fine because they were the children or the descendants of Abraham. They thought they were bound for heaven because they were Abraham's seed. In reality, they were the children of the devil. In reality, they were doomed for hell and destruction. That was the reality of what that system produced. And what I fear sometime in our Christian religious system is that maybe we're not being accurate in how we believe. Let me read you the scriptures in John chapter 8, verse 44. It says this, Jesus speaking to the Jews says, "You belong to your father, the devil." They thought they were children of Abraham, but whose father was real? Your father, the devil. "And you want to carry out your father's desire," which was to kill him. So that was what that religious system produced. And so what my fear is that sometimes our religious system, our Christian belief system, could also produce such a thing as that. And so I don't want us to be deceived. And so that's one thing that I've tried to approach. Now, to begin with today, I just need to ask you something. I need to ask you something, a very, very serious question. If you knew that whoever that you were speaking with at the moment, this would be your last time to ever speak to them, that maybe you would die, you knew you were going to, or you would never see them again, what is it that you would say to them? What is the most important thing that you could say to them? For example, if I knew that this was going to be my very last time to talk to you in this format, I would never see you again, what would I say to you? If I knew I was going to die tomorrow, what would I tell you today? What would be the last thing I would want to say to you? Over 20 years of all that I've said, what would I bring it down to? Now, I think I know what that would be, because I've had a little time to think about it. I think I would know what that would be, but since it's not that time, we're not going to talk about it. But I do want to make you think about something. What did Jesus say lastly? What were some of his last words to his disciples? So I want to talk about that today, and let's look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. It says this, "Therefore, go." I need you to say that back to me. Just say, "Go." Go. Say it one more time. Go. Therefore, he says, go and make disciples. Now, notice that he didn't say go make Christians. What did he say go and make? Disciples, learners, pupils, imitators of me. That's what I want you to go and make of all nations. Don't limit yourself by anybody or any skin color or any language. You go to wherever that you can go, any way that you can get there, and you make disciples for me. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't only baptize them in water. We've talked about this. Baptize them in the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that. And he says, teaching them to obey everything. Teach them everything you know. Teach them everything that I've taught you. Teach them everything. Teach them everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always. Well, say it again. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, that's what Jesus, some of his last words were. Now, on the back of your gateways, if you'd like to take notes with me today and have some insight into this just a little bit deeper, the first thing that I'd like for you to fill in is that disciples are to go. They're to go. We're supposed to go somewhere. These were some of Jesus' last words that he said before he ascended to the throne of God. Now, how are we doing today? are we making disciples or are we making Christians? What is the church really doing today? Are we making pupils and imitators of Jesus Christ? Are we kind of teaching people just to say a prayer and everything's cool? You see, If I allow myself, let me say it this way. If you allow yourself to stop where you are, you will never become a disciple. What we've taught people to do is pretty much receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and that's all there is to it. And we allow them to stop right there. Have you allowed yourself to stop? We talked about who it is that we're supposed to be discipling, and one of the primary things are people that we're supposed to be discipling is our children. Have you allowed your children to stop there? And if I, as a pastor, allow you to stop there, then I'm not doing what Jesus told us to do. Am I correct? So what we want to do is make disciples, not just somebody that operates in a Christian belief system. Disciples are to go. Now let's talk about this just a second. Disciples are to go. Is that what we do today? How is the church working today? It seems to me that what we've done today is we've changed the go to come. We do everything to get people to come. We do buildings so that people will come. We do billboards so that people will come. We do everything that we do. We do Easter drama and Christmas pageants. So why do we do them? So they will come. And everything that we tend to do in the church world today is to get people to come instead of going. Even in an adult sessions like this, we key it to come so people will come. When we do our vacation Bible schools and our King's Castles and our student ministries, we always key it so that people will come. Now, don't hear me wrong. I think we should. I think that it should be an excellent. And I think when people do come, they should have an excellent experience. And I think it should be so excellent that they want to come back. But what did Jesus say to do? Go. So how are we doing there? How are you doing? How are you going? Who have you gone to this year? Now, what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 10 is he sent out his disciples. He sent them out. And I want to read some of this, and I want us to see some very, very simple and basic principles as to what we are to do as we go. So let's look at some of these things. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1. I'm going to look at verses 1 down through verse about 8. So anyway, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says this. He called his 12 disciples. How many did he call? How many did he have? He called his 12 disciples. He called all of them to him and gave them what? Gave them authority. He gave them authority. Isn't that interesting? Authority to do what? To drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Jesus actually gave his disciples authority. Well, the word there is exousia, and what it means is empowerment. He empowered these guys to go and do these things so that people would come into the kingdom of God. He empowered them. I don't see a lot of this today. I don't see a lot of people going out using the power that they've been given. When's the last time that you laid hands on somebody to pray for them to be healed? Or when's the last time that you prayed for somebody to be delivered? I just don't see this happening a lot in Christianity. But these are the things that a disciple does. We have power. We have exousia. We have authority to go and do these things. Matthew chapter 10, verse 6 through 8 says this. These 12 Jesus sent out. Now, before I read this any further, I read you verse 1. Verses 2, 3, and 4 list the names of the disciples, all 12 of them. Their names are written in the book. And then it says, these 12, all of them, Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Would you say instructions back to me? Instructions. They went out with instructions. They weren't on their own, weren't doing their own thing. What were they doing? Instructions. He sent them out with instructions. Now watch this. Do not go, there's that word again, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town or go to the Samaritans. Go, there it is again, rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, there it is again, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you've received and freely give. It's from that particular passage that I want to draw our principles. On the back of your notes, if you're taking notes, write this one down. Disciples go with instructions. Instructions. Notice the specifics. Who to go to, who not to go to. Now let me explain this to you, to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me explain this to you. In the prophecies in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament prophecies, it was said of Jesus, or the Messiah, that when he would come, Daniel chapter 9, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and many of the prophets, they said that when he would come, he would be rejected. He would project it because he would have to bring it first to the children of Israel. That was the prophecy. He would bring it, they would reject it, they would kill him. This would set forth a series of events, one of which being the destruction of Israel and the temple and that whole demonic worship system. That was going to be annihilated. And then the gospel would be taken to the Gentiles or to the nations, which we read earlier and previously that Jesus was telling his disciples to go. Now, this is I want you to see this because it was taken from them and given to the Gentiles. So, but first it had to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me read you this one in Matthew 21, 42 through 43. It says this: Jesus said to them. Now here he's speaking to the Pharisees. Jesus said to them, those of that religious system, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone, Jesus is the chief corner, what? The stone that the builders rejected has come, has become the capstone, the cornerstone. And the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Therefore, he says, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God, there was a kingdom, there is a kingdom, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, you religious people, you of those system, it's going to be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. Now, that all happened. Now, my point in going there and even mentioning it is to show you that thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, God had a plan for you to come into the kingdom. He implemented that plan through Jesus Christ, and He used disciples to bring that plan to you. Right? He implemented His plan to bring you into the kingdom of God through disciples. Disciples went and brought people in. It's now our turn to go. It's now your turn to be a disciple. It's now your turn to go with instructions. So I've got to ask you, to whom are you going? To whom has He given you instructions to go? Who is it that you are going to reach and bring into the kingdom of God? Now, it may be like Steve. It may be that you're going to overseas. It may not be that. It may just be that student sitting beside you, pupil, at high school or at junior high. That may be who you're to go to. It's meant for you to go to a friend, or maybe meant for you to go to an enemy. But there is somebody, because not one single disciple that Jesus ever sent out was not sent out with instructions of whom to go to and whom not to go to. You have somebody. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, there is somebody that God wants you to bring into the kingdom of God. Who is that person? Who has God given you instructions to go and get? Disciples go with instructions. For years, you know, on the first Sunday of every year, actually I think it was the second Sunday, I preach on going, you know, and going and bringing people into the kingdom. It goes into our outreach, into our vision stuff. And so we fill out these cards, and there's thousands of names in here, of cards. And we light a candle and we pray and we write their names down. And then I wonder, is that all we do? We light a candle and we pray for them. Jesus said to do what? Go. Do we go? Do we go to them? A disciple goes, and a disciple goes with instructions. Let's look at another point. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says this: as you go, preach this message. Is that pretty specific? Specific who we go to, and it's specific what we're supposed to say. As you go, preach this message, and the message is this: the kingdom of heaven is near. That's it? That's all I'm supposed to say? The kingdom of heaven is near? What about hell? Shouldn't I tell them about hell? What about the great tribulation? Shouldn't I get into that? Shouldn't I show them about the eschatology? What about the rapture of the church? Shouldn't I tell them about that? What did Jesus say to them? Kingdom of heaven is near. See, and I want you, on your notes, if you're taking notes, disciples go with a simple message. We tend to make it so complicated. You know, we think we've got to have at least an associate's degree in biblical studies before we can ever tell anybody about the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. It's not that complicated. Jesus just said, go tell them that God's presence is close to your life, and if you want it, you can have it right now. That's what he's saying there. It's that simple. It's a simple message. The Apostle Paul kept it simple. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you. This is all I want to talk about when I first got around you. Among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. All I want to tell you about is the cross. All I want to tell you about is the blood. All I want to tell you about is what Jesus did for you. See, here's the simple truth of the thing. Sin separates you from God. Nobody has to tell you that. You know in your heart, because you have sin in your life, that it separates you from God. And God hates sin. The reason God hates sin is because it separates you from Him. Does that make sense? He wants you close. And He's a holy and a pure God. And that's the kind of God I want to serve. Right? I want to serve a holy and a pure God. And so sin now separates us. And He says, I have this plan. I've made this system so that... I've made this way so that you can come to Me. And it's through Jesus Christ. I have this thing figured out so that you can come and get close to Me again, and it's through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He was sacrificed. His blood now washes you from your sin, makes it so that your sin are washed away so that you can come into My kingdom, into My presence, and you can have an abundant life. And you can have a life that's full of righteousness, peace, and joy. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, and it's not way out yonder. What is it? It's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. You can have it right now. And He said, you can have it right now. Just come into My presence. It's that near to you. Is that simple or what? How many of us couldn't tell somebody that? He says, that's what you go with this message. The kingdom is close to you. It's that simple. But if you're like most people, just thinking about talking to somebody about God and trying to witness to Him just horrifies you, you know. And you say, well, what if I don't know what to say? Well, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What if I don't know what to say? Well, hopefully that will happen. Hopefully they will ask you questions. Hopefully they are stirred up enough to ask you some questions. And obviously the disciples that Jesus sent out that day, obviously those disciples had that same concern. Because down in there, as I read in Matthew chapter 10, He says, listen, here's how it works. So maybe you don't think you know what to say. So here's how it's going to work. Even in the most extreme situations, maybe say you got arrested. So let me put it to you like this, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, He says, but when they arrest you, even in the most extreme situations, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Not just what you say, but even how you say it. And don't worry about it. He says, He goes on, at that time, at that moment, right then when you're needing it, He says, here's My promise to you. You will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That is a powerful promise. He promises you, if you will just go with instructions, you will take this simple message, and you begin to project it to people, and you feel like you don't know what to say, if you'll just wait for a moment, I'll tell you what to say. That's a powerful promise. And I can't tell you the times that this has happened to me. It's happened to me so many times. I'll be talking to somebody about God, about the kingdom, and maybe they'll ask me a difficult question. And I'll just kind of stutter around, you know, stall and smile and wait. And out of nowhere comes this scripture, or this word of wisdom, or this word of knowledge. All of a sudden, something comes to me. And people think I'm so smart. They think I'm so sharp. And all I've done is just stalled long enough for God to use me. If He can use anything. I just throw this one out here. This wasn't long ago. A couple of months ago, actually, maybe about a month ago now. At 6:30 in the morning, I got a phone call. And it was from a woman. And she says, Pastor, she says, this situation's happened. She'd been praying for this couple, and they had a baby, and we prayed about the baby's birth, and the baby was born, and then the baby died after being born. And she says, what do I tell them? And I thought, Lord, what do I say? She says, how do I tell them? What do I tell them about God? Because we've worked this through, you know, and now this happened. And I told her, I said, you don't say anything. There is no answer. You just love them. You just be there for them. And you tell them that everybody's praying for them. But there is no answer. See, sometimes there's not a real answer. It's just to love people and care about people. And that's the answer. See, but God will give it to you right then. Right? I've been in studies where people would talk about the end times eschatology, kingdom of God, and those kinds of things. And I can just rattle off scriptures, and it's because a lot of knowledge, but a lot of times He just gives it to me. So what I'm trying to show you is that if you'll go with instructions and you'll go to who you're supposed to go to and you'll do what Jesus said to do, give them this simple message, and when they start asking questions, He promises you, I'll tell you what to say. All right. Here, let's look at another one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 through 8 says again, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Then He says this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. If you're taking notes, the disciple will go connecting the simple message with compassion. See, the message without compassion is just knowledge. It's just going through a works. And compassion without the message is just works. But Jesus says, when you put these two together, When you combine that simple message of the kingdom of God is near and God wants you in His presence, and you combine that with compassion, with ministering to them, with touching their lives, wow, you've got nearly an irresistible force. That's what He's trying to say to us. Now, can I vent just a moment? Churches. Some churches call themselves evangelical. Now, what that means is they're interested in getting people saved. They want to go and get people to pray the sinner's prayer. Now, the theory behind that is this, is if I can get them to pray the sinner's prayer, that if they die, at least they'll avoid hell and go to heaven. That's the theory behind it, okay? So they go in that direction, and they kind of got the message, the simple message, they kind of got that part down. But when it comes to praying for them for healing, they'll say something like this, well, if it's God's will, He'll heal them. Or when it comes to casting out devils, or ministering to them, or laying hands on them, and giving them a word of prophecy, or a word of wisdom, or a word of knowledge, oh, that's not for today. That went out with the apostles. He gave it to disciples. So they've got the message part, but they leave out their void on the other part. See, I know some people who are full of the message, but are just empty when it comes to compassion. And I know people that are full of compassion, but they're just empty when it comes to the message. Now, that's one end of church. The other end of church is this end. They go to church and they go around prophesying and talking in tongues and doing all the gifts to each other, to those in the church. And they seem to be dull and even dumb that there are people out there dying and going to hell. Now, they don't mind laying hands on one another, but they've forgotten that there's a lost and a dying world out there. And they're full of the compassion part, but they don't have the simple message. And Jesus says, if we'll put these two things together, and see, here at LifeGate Church, I try to do that. Like, we have the time where we invite you to come down to be prayed for and be ministered to so that maybe you can have that touch of compassion by God. But before you leave here, you will be challenged. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your Lord? And I try to teach you to do the same thing. I try to teach you, you know, go to people and talk to them about Jesus and talk to them about the kingdom of God, but also pray for them, minister to them, bless them, always be around them. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Where am I? I'm on this platform, aren't I? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you took a simple... Here's how I'm saying this. With the intent. You took the simple message with the intent and combining that with compassion to some person with the intent of bringing them into the kingdom of God. You did it for the purpose to bring them into the kingdom. You did something... Maybe not laying hands on them, but you just did something sweet. Delbert, isn't that with an ulterior motive? Duh. Hello. What did Jesus send them out to do? Did He send them out with an ulterior motive? There you go. I read something that spoke to me this week, and I wanted to share it with you. I got to ask you a question. This really ministered to me. How many of you think you might have on your body a extra pound of body fat? How many think you... Oh, okay. How many wish you just had one extra pound of body fat? There you. All right, now, do a little experiment here. I want you to take your arm and do it like... You remember me. Take your arm, do it like this, and shake it back and forth. Yeah. Stop. Is your arm still moving? If it is, you got more. Devil, what's your point? Leave us alone, right? Here's the point. It takes about $1.50 a month to maintain that one extra pound of body fat. They figured that out. It takes about $1.50 a month. So if you've got a lot of extra money, you could save some money if you... here's what I'm getting at. $1.50 a month to maintain 1 pound of extra body fat on your body is more than what 90% of Christians gave to missions last year in the United States of America. I'll say it again. The $1.50 that you spent to maintain that one, that extra pound of body weight, body fat on your body, is more than 90% of Christians gave to missions last year in the United States. Wow. I was thinking about this, you know, and I remember last year I talked to you about outreach, that, man, if you could just, you know, add a couple of bucks, designate it for outreach, we could increase our radio program, we could do some outreach things, we could do go back on television, you know, we could get some things that would happen. And you know, I was embarrassed by how many of you responded to that, which told me you don't care about outreach. I talk to you every week about alms, or nearly every week, often. And I'm amazed at how few of you give alms. At least, you don't give them here. You know, why? And it's not the giving of your money that breaks the heart of God. It's your lack of compassion. You see, the money, all the money is a thermometer. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said this. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. So where you put your money is really telling me where your heart is. So what does that say? Well, it says that Christians, those in the Christian belief system, do not have compassion. See, Christians believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus died. He's the Son of God. But it stops there. They don't take the message, and if they do, they don't take it with compassion. They seldom take either. See, to me, there's this profound difference between a Christian and a disciple. A disciple goes, and they have with them compassion. So, how much did you give last year to alms? How much did you give last year to mission? We have compassion for stray dogs. We'll take in a stray cat. We don't think a minute about dropping a $20 bill to have our car detailed. I went out last night, spent $72 out to eat. Didn't think a thing about it. We agonize more about where we're going to go to eat than how much it's going to cost us to go eat. But we never think that there are people that went to bed last night that didn't have a meal all day long. We don't think that babies are being born right this second with AIDS. We don't think that some nations are under an attack of disease in a pandemic. We don't care. We don't care that much. It's not that we don't care at all, it's that we don't care that much. We don't want to think about it. We find a way not to think about it. We'd rather think about this or this. We'd rather think about my being comfortable. Let me think about this so I won't have to think about that, because if I think about that, then I'm going to have to get up and go and do something. We want to be comfortable Christians and not disciples instructed to go. God didn't call you to be a comfortable Christian. Says, go and make disciples. With that said, how many of you believe you are blessed? You're a blessed, blessed person. I mean, but God's just blessed you. I believe that. That's awesome, isn't it? See, if you're a Christ follower, you should be blessed. You should be blessed. I want to read this to you also. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8 again says this. As you go, that's what disciples are supposed to do, is go. Preach this message. It's the simple message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Go with compassion, combine the message with compassion, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And then he says this, freely you have received. believers it. I want you to say that back to me, but I want you to say it this way. If God's blessed you, well, I want you to say that back to me. Freely I have received. Say that back. Freely I have received. And you have. But the rest of the verse says, now, freely give. See, we're blessed not so we can sit and be comfortable. We're blessed so that we can touch a world. To freely give. If you're taking notes, disciples will go and freely give. You have so much, and you have so much to give. God's blessed you. He's blessed you with education. Some of you have way more education than you'll ever use. Why don't you share that education with people? Why don't you get around some people that don't have education? Some of you have so many talents and abilities. You got more than you know what to do with. Why don't you get around some people that don't have those talents? I was looking at this passage this week, and it just really spoke to me in a way it never had before. Delbert, you don't have any problems receiving. You freely receive. See, isn't that true? We don't have any problems receiving. Where do we have problems? Freely giving. You don't have any problems getting it. Jesus says it's now time to give it. I hear Christians say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Well, praise God, you ought to be. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. Yes, you should be. The question is this, are you freely giving? Well, it's that time of the service. How many see that that Jesus is very, very clear about how we're supposed to go? We're supposed to, number one, go. Right? You see that pretty clear? Number two, we're supposed to go with instructions. Number three, we're supposed to go with instructions, and we're supposed to take a very simple message that the kingdom of heaven is near, and you can have it if you want it. And we're supposed to combine that simple message with compassion to heal, touch, bless lives. And then we're supposed to freely give. How many see that that's the way a disciple is to go? Is it pretty clear? Pretty clear, huh? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. So it's that time of the service now where I challenge us to see where we really are. So let's pray. Heads bowed. Father, help us. I want to be a disciple. I don't want to be caught up and deceived in a Christian belief system that ends up destroying me. Father, I want to be a disciple, and I want to go. And I want to make disciples. Father, help us. How many of you with your head still bowed? How many of you would say, Delbert, you know what? I'm guilty too. I should be going more than I go. I should be talking to people about the simple message. There are specific people that I should go to. I know that that's instruction for me. I really need to go, and I need to pray with them. I need to pray for their healing. I need to pray for their deliverance. I really need to go, and I really do need to work on that giving part. If that's you, would you agree with me as I was convicted this week? Allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and raise your hand and let's all pray together. I see hands every place. Father, we're trying to be honest. We're trying to not be hypocrites, and we're taking off a mask, and we're just saying to you, Lord, Lord, we want to be disciples. Help us. Provoke us. Challenge us. Bring across our paths people that continue to cause us to be disciples and not settle into a Christian belief system that does nothing. I ask you to help us all, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord. I don't know some of you. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord and you know you're too far and you want to get back. You want to come into the kingdom of God. You want His presence back in your life. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you want the presence of God. You want to have this abundant life. And you want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you. Listen, it's that simple. He hates sin because He loves you. And what sin does is keep you from Him. And He's made a way for you through the blood of Jesus Christ to come to Him, into His kingdom, and be in His presence. The best life you can possibly have. This is the life He offers. this is the choice you make. If that's you today, and you say, Delbert, I want to do it. I want to get closer to God. I want to come back to where I know I'm supposed to be. That's you. Would you raise your hand? Just let me pray with you right where you are. See your hand? Any others? Any others? See your hand? Any others? See? Another hand. Three hands. Three, four hands. Five hands. Okay. I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask everybody in here to pray this prayer with me. Everybody in here, pray after me, please. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and make me a disciple. I believe in you, but I don't want to stop there. I want you to use me. I want you to take me. I want you to use me. I ask you to bless my life so that I can be a blessing to you and a blessing to people. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Let's all stand.